Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And we happen to have one in the studio. Mr. Dennis Prout is here for New Retirement Radio, Certified Financial Planner with Prout Financial Design. Welcome back.
It is great to be in the house, Ron. Thank you so much. Thursday, 2/28/2019. Today we're going to be talking 10 tax breaks for the middle class. Some of these can apply to those who are not in the middle class, of course, as we discuss this. And why? Why do we talk about this sort of thing? Why? Because we're trying to help you arm yourself with information that can be helpful as you think about saving so that you can become more independent, so that you can have more freedom to do the things you've always wanted to do, perhaps. Maybe it's more travel. Maybe it's simply this second career. What are those things that perhaps you haven't even allowed yourself to think about that you'd like to accomplish? That's what those second and third chapters are about. That's what I see from people who come in to talk to us. And for those people who don't want to do it themselves, I had a really interesting conversation with a gentleman who's not a client yet. He's going to wind up being a consulting client, talking about trying to do it himself. And he went on for about 10 minutes about what a pain it is. And I just sat and listened, because one mistake after another and going back and forth. And frankly, that's what we do. That's why we have 8 to 9 people, depending on any given day of the week, who are the back office staff who take care of these details.
So you don't have to, because going back and forth with the vendors is what you're referring to. It's not just the strategy. So he's going to become a consulting client for strategy.
Yes.
But then he wants to do all of the
legwork. He wants to do the other things. You bet.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, we do have some clients who are just consulting clients in that regard. But in the case for those who don't want to do those parts themselves, that's why we're doing what we do. We take care of those details, making certain that the right account gets transferred to the correct account, making certain that there's no tax owed on that transaction, those kinds of things. And if mistakes are made, helping you get those corrected.
Making
mistakes
sure,
that can be corrected is a huge a piece of information through the ESLOT organization that we've used for clients when they've made mistakes on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And or other major financial institutions have made those errors. How can they be corrected? That's what we do. So we help you do those things that much better then, and allow you then to get on with your own life.
Get on with your daily life.
Yes.
You live in your retirement. When I dream of retirement, I dream of like not having an alarm every day. It's like the simple things. Oh, what would that be like, just to, you know, get up.
Get up when you're
then
ready.
Then it'd probably be like, you know, on your weekends when you don't have to get up, and then you wake up early and you're like, but why? I could sleep in 2 more hours.
It'd be nice to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
All right. 10 tax breaks. Number one, anyone for the middle class, anyone can do an IRA. Whether or not it's deductible is the question. Whether or not it can be a Roth IRA is a question. Anyone can do a non-deductible IRA. No matter what your income or what participation you have in a retirement account at work. First thing to remember, anyone can do an IRA. Do you need to do an IRA? Well, I guess so. Well, maybe we want to do a non-deductible IRA and convert that to a Roth later. You certainly can. The deduction rules operate for traditional IRAs in this way. There's a limit on how much you can contribute each year. If you're under 50, $5,500 for 2018, $6,500 if you're over 50 by the end of the year, all right, by the end of 18. So Shay, it's not even something you want to think about because it's way, way out there.
Thanks for thinking that.
And it must be, it can be up to 100% of your earned income as well. So you've got to earn an income of $5,000. That's the maximum amount you can contribute then to that particular IRA.
But no, we've heard of that where couples, one of them has a, not a very big job, but the all that money is going to the retirement account, period.
Well, there's a retirement account, perhaps, that they're fully funding with that, with their income. Then they can't, then they won't have any earned income. They can't do an IRA as well in that particular instance. That's where, and we come in as well, helping them determine that. Now, the limits have come up for 2019. If you're under 50, for 2019, you can contribute up to $6,000.
Sweet.
Over 50, $7,000.
What was it
each
before?
Year, it was 55 and 6,500.
Is that IRA raised, you said, or is that
IRAs? IRAs, okay. IRAs, you bet.
Either one, 7,000.
If you say, well, how much can I put into my 401k? I'm certain you were going there, right, Ron?
Exactly.
Yes. So the amount to 401ks and 403b accounts was 18.5 for those under 50 last year. If you're over 50, there's a $6,000 catch-up contribution. So $24,500 is the maximum you can place into those accounts, given your earned income.
Wow.
We can just say $2,000 a month, approximately, you can save or set aside. And that is regardless of age.
Hmm.
75 years old, still at the peak of your career, I can save $24,500 in 2018, and just because you asked in 2019,
yes,
$25,000 is the maximum that you can set aside. And what else is key about making that contribution or having made it? Where is it allocated to? Are we taking advantage of the funds that we have in there? Do not overlook that.
What do you mean by that?
The contribution and where it's allocated to which mutual funds within your 401k.
Once you just put it,
many overlook that.
The same ratio of.
What I'm saying is, which mutual funds within your 401k are you allocating that to? That's important. That's important because good people tend to do good things. In fact, yesterday, day before, reviewing the allocations for a client, a consulting client, talking about where it's allocated, and I was saying, my gosh, you know, this is great. The funds that you have this going into, he said, well, yes, those are the ones you've chosen. Thank you. So how is that money being allocated, and is it in your best interest as it's going into that savings account? Because they're not going to tell you in the 401k universe, this XYZ and John Q. Public Mutual Fund, whatever that is, these tend to be the better mutual funds within your accounts. This is where you want to go.
Well, why would you want to have funds that aren't the better funds then? Wouldn't you want to just go with the all-stars?
No.
I mean, if you have $100,000 in your, we're talking 401 or IRA or both here, adding on to it.
Any of those.
Okay, yeah. So you have $100,000, you got 10 mutual funds in there, right? And you're going to add another $7,000. Wouldn't you just say split it up the same way? You're saying go in there and pick out of the 10, pick the best ones out of the 10.
I'm saying with those contributions that you pre-allocated, because usually it's preset where those allocations are set to go to, be, what's the term I would like, intentional about where the percentages are allocated to that those funds are invested in within your 401k. And often it's going to be preset. Right. You just want to make certain that you are making that decision with your advisor. It makes a difference.
Okay.
Because we're averaging in. We're taking advantage of the volatility of the stock markets, which Shay is constantly preaching about at the
office. Every day. It's dollar cost averaging. How many times do I
Here
have
comes
to
Shay
say
again.
It See? Over and
oh
over.
Oh, my gosh.
Cost averaging.
Just really. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just like.
This is a long-term relationship, people.
Yeah. So what do I mean by good people tend to do good things? Well, some of those money managers have been in those mutual funds for 15, 20, 25 years. I mean, they might even be 50 years old, Ron. Can you believe it? Well, they have a track record as well, a performance. And that performance can be seen and talked about and known.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, that guy and the two team members with him, they rock and roll on a continual basis. Almost as good as the stars are born. Given that's the case, why wouldn't I want some of my money going in on a monthly basis to that group that does a great job? Yes, that's what I want. That's what it's about. Using good people to do good things. We know what Restaurant Week is all about here. Well, where do you want to go? Well, the restaurants that have a reputation of making great tastes and foods.
Mm-hmm.
Given our spoiled state here in Traverse City,
here.
Michigan.
We
oh,
are.
My gosh. Good stuff. We got to take a break already. We just got through one. So a precursor to this program, okay,
is that Dennis never gets through all the lists.
Yeah. Goodness, so much to talk about and so little time.
I'm going to give you the Jim Pataja that he always gives that hand signal.
Yeah, get moving here.
Number two.
The right to the IRA deduction is phased out. As of 2018, income rises. So the ability to get a deduction income between $63,000 and $73,000 on a single return, or between $101,000 and $121,000 if you're married, $121,000 if you're married and filed jointly with your spouse. It phases out between those income ranges. If you... A spouse with little or no earned income can also make an IRA contribution. Now, those income levels are different. If you are a spouse without a 401k plan through work, the contribution levels are the same for the IRA, but the deduction levels increase here pretty dramatically in terms of income. For 2018, the contribution is tax deductible as long as income doesn't exceed $189,000 on a joint return. You can take a partial tax deduction if your combined income is between $189,000 and $199K. For 2019, it's $193,000 to $203,000. So, let's just use Ron as an example. Ron has a 401k at work. His wife does not. His wife perhaps works part-time, lower income. In this instance, she can make possibly an IRA, deductible IRA contribution, because their income is within that limit of it's less than $189,000 for 2018. So that may be a special thing, all right? In terms of deductibility. Now, Ron may not be able to make that deductible contribution because his income isn't within those limits because he's participating directly. But with a spouse, that income limitation is greater who does not have a 401k plan at work. What's the bottom line on this? The government wants you to save for your own retirement. They really do. They are incentivizing us. What are the tax savings? Depending on your tax bracket, 15 to 20% or so. So for every $1,000 you put into a plan like this, you're going to save approximately $150 to $200 in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the incentive, and it grows tax deferred. So as long as your debt is relatively conservative and you have some kind of an emergency fund, the next thing you want to think about generally is putting money into these plans on a monthly basis. Deduction coming right off of income, whether it's in the 401k, and then the saver's credit as well, the saver's tax credit, whether or not you're using a 401k, an IRA, a Roth IRA, saver's tax credit is available to anyone who has single income, for those who are single, 2018 adjusted gross income of $31,500 or less. So pretty thin margin there, certainly lower income than the average. Or you're married and have adjusted gross income of $63,000 or less. So not crazy low, especially for Northern Michigan. It's better than a retirement contribution. The tax credit can be worth 10%, 20%, or 50% of the amount you put in. That means it's a credit against your tax. It's worth about five times the amount of a deduction based on a 20% tax bracket. What does that mean? That simply means that if you were getting, in the previous example, $150 deduction for your $1,000 contribution, you might get up to $500 against your tax for having made that $1,000 contribution. So whether you're filing for yourself TurboTax or you have a tax advisor, ask them if you can take advantage of the Savers Tax Credit.
Okay.
31,5 or less single, 63,000 married filing joint.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, the amount of the maximum credit is $2,000 for individuals, $4,000 for joint filers. The lower your income, the higher the percentage you can get back via the credit, given the credit against the tax you might owe. And this is whether you put it into a 401k, again, a 403b, a Roth IRA, a regular IRA, or a SEP IRA. Man.
Man.
Nice stuff.
Is that number two?
Three.
Three. That's three. Okay. Yeah.
People with disabilities who have an ABLE account, an A-B-A-L-E account, can also take advantage of the Savers Credit. Contributions to these accounts qualify for the credit so long as they're from the designated beneficiary. Key exceptions: taxpayers under age 18, full-time students, and those claimed as dependents on their parents' returns are not eligible. Not eligible.
Number four.
Before we get into that, simple IRA contribution limits. Many middle-income folks have a simple IRA. Again, are you looking to where you're getting at least the 3% match?
Yeah.
Many of the contributions that you might put in will get a match for having put in that amount. There is no return that can be matched, that can be exceeded, let's say, than getting a match for the contribution that you put in itself. So if you're putting in 3%, for instance, and you get a 3% match, it's like getting 100% return on your contribution.
What's better, a 3% pay raise or a 3% match for your retirement account?
Good question.
Depends what you do with the pay raise,
right? I think it depends on the person.
Exactly what you do with it. But a 3% match is going to be much better in terms of it's not going to be taxed to you immediately. So to answer that question after a little thought, think, it is a better deal to get the match on your retirement plan. The 100% non-taxable, hopefully taxable out there when you retire 10, 15, 20 years for people like Shay, 35, you know, that makes a big difference longer term.
Wait a second.
Shay's crossing her eyes.
Hmm?
35 years.
I thought we figured something 35. Out where I've only got 10 years left.
Mm.
Taking an early
that's
retirement.
Like Bugs Bunny. I was supposed to be on next week. No, this isn't next week. This is this week. There you go. Earned income. So before we move on, the contribution that you're placing into your retirement account, are you getting a match? As a part of looking at what your tax breaks are, look to where, if you're getting a match to having placed in that contribution to the accounts, to the 401k, significant money may be gained having done that. So if your match is at 5% of compensation, try to do your best to get to 5% of compensation in that plan. 100% return can't be done anywhere else, period. Best use of your money, right? Yeah.
We're reading Kiplinger's, if you're just tuning in, Kiplinger's 10 Tax Breaks for the Middle Class.
With additions by Dennis. Thank
yep.
you. Earned income tax credit. Earned income tax credit ranges from $519 to $6,431, depending on your income and how many children you have. For your 2019 return, the range will be $529 to $6,557. This program was originally conceived in the 70s. Can make a big difference. Federal earned income tax credit may exceed the amount of taxes you owe. So basically, you're getting money back from the government, depending on your income. If you have no children, for example, your 2018 earned income tax income and adjusted gross income each must be less than $15,270 if you're single and $20,950 if you're married, filing jointly. So earned income tax credit. Remember to take a look at that. And then also with a new child also comes a $2,000 child tax credit to lower and middle income earners, a gift that keeps on giving every year until your dependent son or daughter turns 17. So the child tax credit may still be available to you.
So that's interesting. That's, of course, federal government rules, so they figure a child is at 17 and it's all over, the tax credit.
Well, there are more expenses, apparently, for the child.
But yeah, exactly. But then for Obamacare, they say up to 26 years
correct.
Old.
Correct, yes.
So it's a little inconsistent there.
Uh-huh. Yes, lots of inconsistencies in the tax law. Yeah. I thought it was kind of radical that there is no income limit for those who would get a tax deduction on an IRA if you don't have a retirement plan at work. But there is an income limit for getting to make a Roth contribution. Hmm. It really is nonsensical. Was that what you wanted to say, Ron?
Yes, exactly, okay, Dennis. You're reading my mind today.
Then the $2,000 per child tax credit will reduce your tax bill by $2,000. The credit begins to disappear as income rises above $400,000 on joint returns and above $200,000 on single and head of household returns. And for some lower income taxpayers, the credit is refundable, meaning that it's worth more than your income tax liability. Again, meaning that you can get more than you actually paid in.
Was that all under one heading, EITC and the child tax credit, or are those
two separate? No, those are two separate entities.
So we're up to
number
six
savings.
Now, right?
Yes.
Six.
You may also qualify for a tax credit that reduces the cost of child care if your children are younger than 13. This is a child care tax credit. You're eligible for a 20 to 35% credit. So for those parents who are listening and have children, in this case grandchildren, remember, you may want to tell your children, hey, are you aware of the child care tax credit?
That's
or
really
the
cool.
earned income mm-hmm. tax credit?
In mm-hmm. this case, they consider children anyone under 13.
Yes.
Okay.
If your children are younger than 13, you're eligible for a 20 to 35% credit for up to $3,000 in child care expenses for one child or $6,000 for two or more. $6,000 a year. $500 a month if that's your expense. It's a credit against your tax.
So the more kids you have, the more you save.
Well, the more expense, I guess you would say. After two children, it becomes murky. Well, you have more earned income tax credit as well.
Ah, yes.
Percentage decreases as income increases. Eligible expenses include the cost of a nanny, preschool, before, after school care, and summer day camp. I'm not sure why that foreign language keeps coming in. It keeps creeping in on me.
I was a nanny happening. For one summer and yes. never again.
Really? It was rather intense?
It was difficult.
Yes?
I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm.
So to the nannies out there.
A shout out to
Good
the
job.
Nannies.
Mm-hmm.
Another way to reduce child care expenses is to participate in your employer's flexible spending account for dependent care expenses. With these accounts, money is deducted from your gross salary before income, Social Security and Medicare taxes. You can contribute up to $5,000 per year and not pay any tax on that money and use it for their expense. You can't claim the child care credit for expenses covered by a flexible spending account. Some other details we're not going to go into because everyone's eyes will cross at that point. Just to know that there are lots of ways to save taxes for those with children and who have those expenses related to it and or don't, depending on where they're at. The credit for other dependents begins to disappear as income rises above $400,000 on joint returns and above $200,000 on single and head of household returns, although there's no limit on how many dependents you may claim on a return as long as they qualify. Whom can you claim as a dependent? It well depends. But the IRS is a helpful tool to guide you through the qualifications. If you're claiming them as a dependent, in some cases, there may be a credit for other dependents as well, someone older living in your home that you're helping care for.
I would think for the baby boomers, this is good news because if they've taken in their grandchildren,
yes.
I don't know, or their parents.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
On the tax forms, I know they're new ones, but generally, do they put a lot of on there? So if you're in this category, certain income level, two or three kids, I mean, will you discover this in just filling out your taxes?
No, that's why they need to listen to WTCM and our financial show.
Can they get a copy of Kiplinger's?
Yes, we can get them a copy of this, Dan.
Well, yeah, we can give them a copy, or they could just sign up for the email blast. Okay. I got the link right there.
All right.
Think it over.
You are so smart.
It's almost like I'm the marketing person.
See, Ron, I can tell Ron was surprised as well.
I am.
See?
Mm-hmm. What did you say about dollar cost averaging?
I'm quick. There's a difference.
Let's hit the last four. I'll mention them, and then we'll discuss in some detail one or two if we have time. Investors with lower taxable incomes pay no tax at all on their capital gains and dividends. Mm. Those dividends can be very tax exempt, up to 0%. Well, 0% tax possible on capital gains and dividends.
Mm.
Something to think about. Tax credit available for those with a $2,500 of college tuition and related expenses. That's called the Lifetime Learning Credit. Lifetime Learning Credit is calculated as 20% of up to $10,000 of qualified expenses. That's separate from Lifetime Learning Credit is separate from the college tuition and related expenses tax credit. So your education. Maybe partially deductible, Shay. Very
Maybe
cool.
Maybe I'll go back and get another degree.
Got a student loan around your neck? You can deduct up to $2,500 of interest paid on the loan each year as long as your 2018 modified adjusted gross income, or MAGI, is less than $80,000 or $165,000 if filing a joint return. Then lastly, interest on savings bonds is usually subject to federal income tax when you draw it. However, interest on Series EE bonds and I bonds issued after 1989 can be tax-free. So take a look at that and make certain that you're still getting interest on those bonds by going to savingsbonds.gov, as in Victor. You'll be able to see whether or not they're still collecting interest.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.